Welcome to Scrappy ABM, your source for groundbreaking approaches that don't break the bank. ABM shouldn't cost $200K in tech to even get started. So if you want to get started with ABM or make your program even better without investing a massive amount of money, you're in the right place. Each week, we'll hear from the brightest minds in the marketing world who are redefining ABM, achieving incredible results with untraditional methods, limited resources, and a whole lot of creativity. This isn't a show about how much money you can spend on fancy tech or overhyped tools. Instead, it's about celebrating creative problem solving and the scrappiness it takes to get ABM right. We'll dive into how these marketing leaders built robust ABM strategies with limited resources, revealing the actionable insights that led to their biggest wins. So if you're a marketer ready to challenge the status quo and build a scalable, efficient, effective marketing strategy, Scrappy ABM is the show for you. So if you're ready to discover ABM strategies that are lean, impactful, and utterly transformative, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. Today we're going to be talking through the website re-engagement playbook. So if you've not listened to some of our past episodes where we dug into the 4D framework, I'm going to give you a quick refresher. The 4D framework is how we think through every single playbook that we build at Scrappy ABM. And I'm going to walk you through exactly how to build this playbook around people that are hitting your website, that are already brand aware, that are likely viewing specific product or pricing or schedule a call pages, and they can re-engage those people. So for starters, the 4D framework. First is data, then you have distribution, then you have destination, and then lastly is direction. So in the context of data, it's who we're going after, why are we triggering them, and how do we message those people appropriately? So that's data. Next is distribution. So the channels that we're going to use to get in front of these people. Next is going to be destination. So what are we pushing them to? What do we want them to understand and learn through our content? And then lastly is that direction piece, how we're going to track that they've actually engaged with the destination. So in the context of website re-engagement, let's start with why you would build this playbook. For starters, it's a huge foundation for building larger programs down the road. If you just think about how in the e-com space, which is something that does a ton around website re-engagement and abandoned carts, you can actually see that so much of the investment is in how do we bring people back, because they've already put something in the cart. They've already gotten this far. They went away and then they just maybe forgot about it. So again, marketers will use the hacks in the e-com space where they'll put something in their cart, wait 24 hours, get a 20% discount, and then go buy it. But in a B2B context, we can use those same principles. Somebody that already got this far, they're already brand aware, they already are likely problem aware, they're already likely solution aware. They may be looking at other solutions and they were checking you out to see if you might be a viable fit. So what do we do with that? Why would we build that? It's to re-engage those that are already brand aware, problem aware, solution aware, to come back and actually book a call. Like, this is a straight conversion-based playbook. This is not an educational nurture. This is not intended to raise awareness. They already are brand aware. The goal here is conversion. So data, we are looking at ideally people that are already on our website. They are ICP fit people and accounts that we want to work with. So that's the data piece. The trigger is they hit our website, and not just hit our website. Ideally, when you go to install a website re-engagement tool, a website de-anonymization tool, de-anonymization of traffic just means who's hitting your website. So it's not just a number of site visits, but the individuals or the companies that are hitting your website. A couple different tools you can use for this. My favorite at this moment is going to be RB2B. And I say at this moment because things have changed very quickly. But with RB2B on a free tier, you'll actually get a Slack channel that's set up and it will just pass the contacts that are hitting your website and their LinkedIn profiles. So from a data perspective, you're going to have something that you can use to de-anonymize your website traffic. A couple of other tools that are free would be things like Warmly that will give you the account level information. For context, they are going to white label Sixth Sense data. So there's about a 60% match rate for those that hit your website on average. You may have higher, you may have lower depending on your industry, but about 60% of those that hit your website will have a match rate based on their account. And then there's also Factor.ai. Personally, for quick context, I have not used this tool myself. It is a tool that I'm starting to explore and I've heard a lot of great things about it for de-anonymization. But again, my favorite at this moment is going to be RB2B for the simple purpose that you've got the Slack connection and integration. that gives you the person's LinkedIn profile. Challenges here that you're going to have to overcome by using any of these free tools is likely the disconnect from a data perspective to the direction component around tracking. There are ways to solve for that, but all these free tools are largely going to not integrate into a CRM. They're not going to automatically create contacts and company records in your CRM or track the comms. So again, there may be some manual work to do here, but that is how you get the data piece. So you're looking at people that are on your website. You're going to use RB2B or Warmly or Factor.ai as a trigger that actually helps you notify who's hitting my website. And then lastly, how we message those people appropriately. I work in the marketing and tech space in general. Personally, I've actually used messaging that is very clear and very direct. And I've had HubSpot as an example. I was checking out a lot of HubSpot pricing pages. I actually got a direct message from a HubSpot rep that says, hey, it looks like you were checking out some of our pricing pages and playing with different bundling features and bundling packages. Didn't know if you had any specific questions. Because marketers are generally, and sellers and people in the tech space that are in rev tech are generally more aware of these tools. I was not taken off guard by the nature that they said, hey, we've actually got your data. We know what you've been doing on our website. We wanted to see if you had any specific questions. In that context, I knew it was a personalized and specific message. In other industries and in other verticals, namely manufacturing, this generally doesn't work as well because they don't love the fact that you've got their data. So again, depending on your industry, you can be a little bit more direct about it. And in other industries, you may just want to make it seem more serendipitous that you're reaching out. So that's the messaging piece. It's based on your audience and why you're reaching out, how do you message those people appropriately. So that's data. Distribution. For the rest of this playbook, I am going to primarily focus on RB2B and other playbooks that we'll talk about, primarily using third-party intent data. We'll talk through how you could use a Warmly or a Factor.ai for the re-engagement. But for the purposes of the rest of this playbook, we're going to focus on RB2B. So when it comes to distribution, because with RB2B, you are going to get the LinkedIn URL and that individual person, I love using LinkedIn as a primary distribution channel in this context. Because again, you have it right there. It's easy. You can go directly connect with those people. And what these other tools will not give you unless you use another data source, which is where you're starting to add some layers of complexity, you can potentially upload this LinkedIn URL or find this person in a data enrichment source, integrate that into your tech stack. You could use Apollo for free to start with some form of data enrichment or sales intel that now has a free tier. For the purposes of simplicity though, I like to just go create a contact record that doesn't have an email address and primarily keep my comms in LinkedIn because you can add a lot more complexity. But what I also like about LinkedIn is it will feel more natural and organic because you can easily just go connect with anybody on LinkedIn and start messaging them there. When you start to directly email people, it's very clear that they've been targeted. And personally, I like to target people in channels that are publicly accessible so they don't feel like they're being targeted. They feel like, oh, we're just having a conversation and building a relationship. So it'd be the distribution channels. Now, if they start to ghost, you may want to add more channels, and that would be largely email. If you want to build a more robust marketing program around this, you can also do ad-based programs when you get a large enough list of people through RB2B. But at the end of the day, LinkedIn DMs, it's not overly complicated. This is the best way to activate your sales team to then go after these people. Next is then going to be destination. So again, what I really love to do is I don't want to have a blanket RB2B. I don't want to have a blanket of website re-engagement because if somebody hits our blog, I don't really care about that. What I want to do is I want to make sure that this is actually on high intent pages. So what we can do is actually only install it on a few specific pages so that we can see when people that are looking at our website actually hit specific product pages, specific pricing pages, specific schedule a call pages. And then as a result, that very much so informs our outreach. So our outreach could be, hey, from a destination perspective, a lot of people are trying to accomplish XYZ things. Didn't know if you had ever looked at a breakdown. Here's actually a third-party resource that breaks down the pros and cons. One of my favorite things to do in the context of destination when it comes to website re-engagement is link out to third-party comparisons. And the reason here is it builds significant trust. You're not just pushing them back to your website. You've already got their data. You already know that they were looking at your website. The goal here is education so that they'll come back for a conversion. And the goal is to actually help them decide. It's not to make them decide that you are the right fit. It's to make them decide what is the right fit. So by sending them out to third-party comparison pages, you can break down and have them break down for themselves, what am I looking for? What's the best fit? And you actually then come in as a resource that guides them. And generally speaking, when I've worked with sellers that have framed themselves as a resource versus a pusher of, hey, you have to buy our platform, I go back to them with more questions because I see that they've been helpful. And that's the primary goal, is how do we get this conversation truly going? And again, if I'm not the right fit, amazing. We're going to save ourselves a lot of time through a full sales process. But if I am the right fit, then amazing. We've now actually put ourselves at the front of the line before they've ever actually booked a call, which is a great way to, again, build trust, build a deeper relationship, and actually convert more accounts as a long-term result. The other thing is I really love to frame up how we are unique and only. There's this concept from the book Good to Great. It's called the onlyness statement. So what are you, the only company in the industry that does this one specific thing? We had a client of ours that was the only email signature management platform that integrated with the full MarTech stack and gave you the reporting capabilities on your marketing program. So your email signature management, huge individual differentiator. If they're the only people that do that and using email signature management for the purposes of marketing to get incredible reporting capabilities and integrate into the full stack. If that's important to you, we're the only people that do that. And it really made it a quick and easy decision of, oh, that is super important to us. That is a major deciding factor. We should definitely have a call, or that's actually not important to us. We don't care about that. We're doing email signature management primarily for brand consistency and IT compliance. Very different use cases, at which point, if this is our main selling point and this is not what you need, that's okay. We can still maybe be the right partner, but in that context, we're going to compete as a commodity, not as a unique differentiator. And I want to compete more on unique differentiators where we're the only people that do it, because those are easier sells, they stay for longer, and it's more intentionally aligned with their goals. So again, from a destination perspective, third-party comparison websites that also in your message, you can frame up PS, we're going to be able to do this, and then follow up, give it 3-4 days and say, hey, hopefully that was helpful. And just have a couple of resources mapped out, because you can send them one, but if you can send them a variety of resources that do comparisons, that's going to be exponentially better. Another thing that you could do hypothetically, depending on your industry and your vertical, there is a plugin called BuiltWith. If you install BuiltWith into your Chrome tab, you can actually see all the technologies that are being used on an account's website. So what you can actually do is take that a step further and say, hey, we know a lot of people in your space are using this tool. Didn't know if you guys were using this tool, but here's a breakdown comparison. You actually send them the breakdown comparison of your tool versus their tool. That works super well in the SaaS space. Obviously, not everybody is in the SaaS space, but the more that you can be personalized in how you are then doing that comparison breakdown, the more you'll actually end up seeing the results. And then lastly, when it comes to the direction piece, admittedly on free tools, this is a harder part. And especially if you're sending them towards third-party resources, it's going to be difficult. And especially if you're using LinkedIn as the primary tool, it's going to be difficult. Things that I would look at, do they come back to the website? So are we seeing them hit the website again? That, from my perspective in a website re-engagement playbook, is an indicator that they are actually tracking in the right direction. So they're coming back to the website, they're exploring further. Those are great signs. And lastly, do they book a call? Primary metric of success in this context is a booked meeting. This is, again, not necessarily a longer-term education piece. This is, they are viewing specific high-intent pages on your website. And as a result, we've now sent them further education that hopefully helps them get a comparison. And then once they've had that comparison, if they're coming back to your site, means that you're still likely in the running. If they aren't, you saved yourself a lot of time by disqualifying early. So that is the website re-engagement playbook. Hopefully this was helpful. If you have any further questions, feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn and send me messages directly there. And we'll look forward to seeing you in the next one. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Scrappy ABM. If you enjoyed this week's episode, go ahead and give us a follow so that you don't miss a single episode. We drop every single Monday so that you can start your week off right. And if you're looking for additional great content just like this, go check out scrappyabm.com. We're building a library of frameworks, guides, templates, processes, and tools so you have everything that you need to build a low-budget, high-impact, scrappy program. Again, thank you for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. This has been your host, Mason Cosby, and we look forward to seeing you in the next one.